This is the Business Storytelling Show, a top global marketing podcast listened to in more than 100 countries, live streamed on social media, and broadcast on DBTV. Christoph Trapp chats with industry leaders to help your company tell better business stories. Here's today's episode.
Episode 635, my friends. Thanks for joining me, business storytellers, everybody interested in making the gig economy work for yourself. And why wouldn't you? So today I'm really excited to talk to Derek Stratton. He's the founder of Who Do You Know? Fantastic, right? And that's kind of an interesting discussion here today. Who do you know? How do you get in touch with them? How do you find them, especially as you're needing help with those, let's call them gig projects? So Derek is going to join me. We're both based in Iowa, so that's a fantastic treat. Usually we don't have too many people from Iowa on the show. So really excited to hear about what prompted the development of the app, which is brand new earlier this year, and how's it going and what can we expect in the future? Derek, welcome to the show.
Thanks, man.
Nice to see you. Really glad we were able to connect. Now, kind of fill us in. What prompted the app? Were you standing on the street corner and saying, I can't find people to fix my roof? Or what's your story?
You know, what it actually was is 3 years ago, I was at a holiday party this time of year, and people were talking about ways to make extra money. And inadvertently, someone asked my opinion on it. And inadvertently, I'd spit it out that it's easy to make extra money. And this party I was at, there was, I don't know, 30, 40 people there. And it was a dull roar. People were having a good time. And as soon as I said that, the room got like whisper quiet, like straight out of a movie. You could have heard a pin drop. And man, this one woman, she turned in and she looked at me and she got really upset. And she said, there is nothing easy about making money. And like the room was agreeing with her, and everyone turned and looked at me and I felt kind of awkward. And they all went back to doing what they were doing and just like pretended like what I said, you know, didn't happen. And that moment spurred the whole thing. And I started doing some research and looking into it. And the sad truth is that 60% of America are living paycheck to paycheck. They've got less than $1,000 in the bank. That's 200 million Americans. And as I started to go down this rabbit hole, I knew there was a problem. And I thought that we could build something. And it led us here. And Hoodoo, the name comes from who do you know, right? So everyone's going to social media, they're going to Facebook, and they're asking that question, who do you know that can, you know, paint my living room or fix my car or walk my dog? So there's all these people that are struggling to get by, living paycheck to paycheck. And basically, we've taken a reverse approach to it, and we've built everything around the doer. So internally, we call ourselves a doer-driven ecosystem.
I mean, that's fantastic. And just a friendly reminder, my 9-year-old, who has her own YouTube channel, is reminding us and blowing up the comments to give her a shout out. So, Ellie, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate you tuning in. And that's probably enough comments for this. But everybody else, feel free to leave your comments, ask your questions, and we'll try to answer them on the show. You know, what's really kind of sad is that that many Americans live paycheck to paycheck. And certainly, you know, I know there's some people that have set up systems where you can't, you know, where just you're not going to earn as much as you could maybe going a different route. But how is Hoodoo going to help Americans, you know, step up their earning potential? And how is that going to work in practice?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, you know, there's a lot of other companies out there that have really paved the way for the gig economy. And I don't want to name drop. I don't want to get myself in trouble here. But the ride sharing apps, the food delivery apps, you know, they really paved the way. But in a lot of senses, the actual doer, they're not in control. Those apps, those platforms are built around the person who needs something done, right? They're built around the person who needs a ride, or they're built around the person who wants food delivered to their house. And what we did is we took a ground up approach and we built Hoodoo all about the doer, about the side hustler, about the gig worker. And we're very focused on them. We're very clear and transparent about our fees and the way it works. We really pride ourselves on being simple, sleek, right? You can open up our platform. You can go to our website, heyhoodoo.com. And right there, you can see all these different ways to make money. You can see all these different projects that you can go bid on. And the way it works is you go, you find a project that you can do, you go bid on it, you know, you write your bid description in there. And then the lister, the person who needs the thing done, the person that's asking, hey, who do you know? They get to go through the bids. Everything's public. Everything's very transparent. And they can award it to whichever doer they're most comfortable with, because we're peer reviewed. Everyone has a feedback rating. And like I said, everything that we've done from the ground up, we built it with the doer in mind. And I like to think, you know, I'm biased, obviously, but I did do a lot of research. I spent 10 months, traveled to 47 states, interviewing people as they were coming out of like payday loan centers and plasma donation facilities, side hustlers, riding around with Uber drivers and talking to people, and did a lot of research, a lot of customer discovery on this. And I do think we're the only platform out there that's really built with the doer in mind.
Well, you know, most companies or many companies, they think about the end customer, right? So that's kind of, I mean, that's why they do it. I mean, even I wrote down Uber, and of course, today I just sit in this chair. I don't really go too many places. I definitely don't commute every single day. But when I did commute way back in the day, I signed up for Uber to be a driver, right? And I would take people, give them rides on my way home, basically, in theory. But the problem was Uber didn't even tell me where they wanted to go or how far of a drive it was it even worth my time? So it was definitely not about me. I don't know if it's still like that today. I think California had some changes in laws a couple of years ago, but that's how it was back then. So, you know, when you mentioned it's built for the doer, I'm thinking, well, that app, Uber, is not built for the doer, or wasn't at that point, at least.
I still don't think it is.
It still doesn't do it. It's kind of crazy, but you know, we need laws, I guess, for those kind of things. So what kind of doers sign up for the app, and what kind of projects should people look on there for?
Well, let's start with the second question, right? We've got a little phrase that we like to use. It's, if it's legal, you can list it. So if it's legal, you can do it. You can post it on our platform. And then we've had everything from, you know, we've had a single dad list on our platform that he needed someone to come and braid his daughter's or do his daughter's hair for a dance that they had. And we had someone plan a Valentine's Day date, some really unique things. But a lot of the projects that we have are around the house, around the home, auto detailing, tree removal. Those three categories seem to be really large. As far as who our doers should be, I mean, man, 6 out of 10 people are struggling to get by. And, you know, not everybody likes to admit it, but everybody would like a little extra breathing room in the budget. You know, one of the really cool things that sets us apart is as we continue to build out the platform, you know, as I said, we're a doer driven ecosystem, is we're offering our doers things like paid vacation, right? So every 25 weeks, we take the average of your last 25 weeks, as long as you did a project on our platform every week for the last 6 months. And then on that 26th week, we give you whatever that average is. So if you'd averaged $1,000 on our platform over the last 25 weeks, we give you $1,000. So you have like a week's paid vacation. So as we built this, what we really did is we looked at all the ways that 1099 workers, that the freelancers, the gig workers, if you want to call them that, all the obstacles and the pain points that they're feeling. And then we went out and we started building those solutions. And at the core of everything, of course, is our marketplace, where essentially we're connecting people who need things done with the people who want to do them. But it's really so much more than that. It's about all those pain points and obstacles that 1099 workers and freelancers are facing, and we've provided a solution to those.
I think especially the PTO is fantastic, right? I mean, who would have ever thought about that? What's the business model? How does the app make money? Do you keep a certain percentage, or people pay a fee, or how does that work?
Great question. Yep. So it is a percentage based. We take a little bit from the lister and a little bit from the doer. Doers have no fees up front. There's no upfront cost to join, to subscribe, to, you know, to bid on projects. It's completely free. And then once a doer does complete a project, we keep 15%. Whereas, you know, the ride sharing apps, they're anywhere from 40 to 60%. So some people get a little upset about that 15%, but hey, it is expensive to build a platform here. Give us a little bit of slack. But you know, we're keeping a lot less than those other platforms out there. I'm hearing you name drop, but I'm trying really hard not to. I don't want to make anybody mad. But, and then we also charge on the listing side, let's say a lister awards a project for $100. We bill them $105. So we're charging a 5% side on the listers as well.
Got it. Interesting. Yeah. I think when I first signed up for Uber, you got 75% of whatever the ride was, and then it went down quite a bit, and it was basically a certain number per mile. So that was not a good deal at all, especially driving on your own in your own vehicle. But we're not here to pick on Uber. We're here to talk about Udu.com. So check that out. I just signed up. It's super quick to sign up, and you sign up as a doer and as a lister, right? I mean, so you have a dual account at the same time, or how does that work?
Yeah, so that's one of the other things that really sets us apart is that I apologize for some reason my earbuds keep wanting to fall out on me. one account, you can be both sides, right? You can be a lister or a doer on the platform, and then our feedback and everything, it all ties in together. And then you know, if you're listing a project, it only shows you that side of it, and versus doing, it only shows you that side. But we wanted to make it as simple, as streamlined as possible with Uber, with TaskRabbit, with any of the gig platforms out there. There's always two apps, and it can get complicated. It can get, you know, it can get frustrating. That's what it is, right? And anytime there's friction, customers, users, they're not going to want to use your platform. And, you know, following along that same thought process, one thing about Hudu is we are a cross-category platform, to where, you know, you take some of the other gig apps out there, they're very focused. You know, you can walk your dog with this platform. You can have your yard mode with this platform. But who wants to, as a doer, right? Because keep in mind, we're built around the doer. Who wants to go into, let's say it's the end of the month and you need to make some extra money to cover rent and or your house payment or whatever it is. Who wants to go into six different apps and go try to hustle up a couple extra $100 on six different platforms? It gets real confusing. It's complicated with Hudu. You know, like I said, that word that we love to focus on is simple. We like to be simple. And if we're making the process more complicated, we always step back and we ask ourselves why, right? Does making it more complicated make it better? Because usually it doesn't.
Yeah, it's very true. And you know, the other thing is, I mean, it becomes more valuable even the more people use it, right? The more products are listed, or not products, but the more projects are listed, the more doers are on there, the more listers are on there. Very interesting. I also like, you know, just looking around the platform a little bit, it's not just an app. It's not just on the web. I mean, I can use it wherever I want to. What was the thinking behind that? Why is that important to have it on all these different places and not just say, download my app, you know, because you want the download, I guess.
Well, one of our target demographics, it's a great question, really good question. One of our target demographics is my grandma, right? My grandma has all these things that she wants to get done. And unfortunately, her kids, her grandkids aren't always available to go get them, you know, to go do them for her. So the older generation, you know, sometimes they're not comfortable downloading an app, or it's too complicated. And people just want that low friction, right? So, you know, you take, as people get into their golden years and they don't want to be moving boxes around in the attic or maybe hanging Christmas lights, or, you know, there's just all these things that they need done. We wanted to make it as simple as possible. And that's why we built the web app version. So, heyhudu.com is almost identical to what you would get if you downloaded our app.
Do you think, what's your opinion about the gig economy? So when I think about, I mean, when I drove Uber, it was just like, on the way home, right? But is the gig economy, is it the future of work, or is it like a side hustle to make money for your vacations? Do you know what I mean? Like, how do you see that evolve? Is it, I mean, when you see projects on there, is that what people are doing full time, or is that just to make a little bit of extra money to get over that hump?
Well, I do know in our customer discovery, I do know that a lot of people are side hustling full time. So it's their full time hustle. I don't think at this point that's how we envision Hudu. However, I have no objection. Look, I hope we're only 10 months old. In fact, we'll be 10 months old December 3rd. So we're in Iowa and we're in Dallas right now. But I hope that we get to the point to where, you know, we become a verb. And if someone needs something done, you know, like, hey, if you need to go somewhere, if you need a ride, what do? You Uber it. Well, you need something done around the house, around the office, in your car, you need family photos, who do it, right? But the gig economy is expected to become a $1 trillion industry by 2027. Today, it's sitting around $350 billion, contributes $350 billion to US GDP, gross domestic product. So the gig economy is definitely a large player in the next 5-10 years, especially as, you know, one of the things that we've got our eye on is, you know, what I like to call this AI jobpocalypse, right? It's coming. AI is slowly going to start replacing jobs. And look, the economy is already tough. I mean, everybody's feeling it. I'm feeling it. It's getting a little bit tighter, and everybody could use a little extra breathing room in their budget. How much does the gig economy play into the everyday American's salary, into their livelihood? I don't know that I can answer that question, but I do know to some degree it's going to play in everybody's life. You know, we had a user leave us. This is why we built the platform, is the feedback, like what I'm about to share with you. But a woman had posted a review in one of the app stores a couple months ago, and her husband had lost his job. And the transition between, you know, losing his job and getting a new job, he had to find something to do. And he used Hudu. And it had, like, I mean, she'd made it sound like we'd saved the day, right? I don't want to go that far, but it was good to know that we could help fill that need right there.
You know, I think it also depends on what kind of projects you can get, and also the volume of projects, right? I mean, I'm thinking about we have a very small project right now at the house about some siding that needs to be repaired. And everybody that has looked at it, right, they just say, well, it's pretty small, right? But we'll fit it between these other two big projects. Or if you have 10 little ones that are close by each other, right, that is still a full day of work. Maybe 10 might be too big of a number, but you know what I mean.
Absolutely.
I just picked the number totally random in the app, you know, on Dallas. And so there's a coffee table, sand and repaint. So it's not something I would do either or could do. So that's something I would post, you know, or baby proofing or dryer coat help. So this, I assume there's some code on the dryer. Maybe I can click onto it for more. I don't know. And they asked for help, for somebody to help. I mean, how would you even get stuff like that figured out if you didn't have an app like this? I mean, where else in the world? I know it's your company, but you know what I mean? Where else would I even post that? Like, would I put that on Facebook and then somebody maybe potentially knows what a dryer coat is? But here it's much more, I mean, you know, hopefully you can find the right person.
Again, you hit the nail on the head. So many people are turning to Facebook and they're asking, hey, who do you know? So our name came from, hey, who do you know that can help diagnose my dryer? And a lot of times they add, and I'm not looking to spend a lot of money, right? They don't want to call out a Samsung repairman or the Geek Squad or someone to come fix it, to come diagnose it. They just want to pay someone $50 for, you know, an hour of their time to come fix it. And that's exactly why we built the platform.
I mean, it's just so interesting. And then we have, I'm late coming back on the screen here. If you're watching on the live stream or on Spotify, which is the only platform that has video. I mean, there's people asking for an oil change, detail a Camry, Christmas lights put up, move desks and chairs. That looks like a lot of desks and chairs. So I would not want to do that, which is probably why they posted it on here, but very interesting. How do you recruit people? I mean, what's like the strategy on finding? I know you have a section in there on remote work. So somebody like me could put my projects up, right? If you need help with certain things on podcast coaching or whatever. But a lot of these projects are really geographically grouped, right? I mean, that's why you're launching in Dallas and Des Moines and my area soon. So how do you find people? How do you make sure the right doers get into the app?
Yep. So before we go live in a market, we seed the market. So we go in and we recruit doers. And then once we hit a certain threshold, we will start advertising to listeners. So the doer, you know, in the whole chicken or the egg scenario, the doer does come first, and we go out and we recruit the doers. And then we have a small team that watches the platform very closely. And if a project gets listed and we're like, oh, you know what? We haven't seen that one before. We might start looking for someone in that market and try to recruit them onto the platform. We hijack the Facebook groups a little bit. You know, if there's a really unique project that gets listed and no one's bid on it yet, you know, we might go into a Facebook group and try to find someone that can do that and recruit them onto the platform. So it's a win-win. But, you know, it's so far, I will say, knock on wood, we've been really fortunate that we've built something that the doers really love. And we've had no shortage of doers to this point. So hopefully as we continue to grow and scale, that stays true. And we're able to just have doers flocking to our platform.
You know, and certainly everybody, can people make referrals? I mean, I was just, as you were talking, I'm thinking, okay, I know this person and this person and this person. And I even know one person who literally is doing what you just said. When people go on Facebook and they say, hey, who do you know? And that person's name keeps coming up. And he's like, I got so much work from just people doing that. But it's not as structured. It's not as in one place. It's not as, you know, it's kind of like very free flowing. So how do people send those referrals over? Did they just send them the app and or the website address? Or how do they sign up?
So once you sign up, once you create a profile, you can refer people to the platform. And for every person that you refer to the platform and they complete a project, you can get 10% on their first project. So if you refer someone to the platform and they do a $350 project on the platform, you'd earn $35. And then also that person that you recruit onto the platform, if they're a new user, they get 10% off of their first project. So if they're awarding a project for, again, $350, they'd get $35 off the first project. So we have a pretty sweet referral program as well.
Fantastic. So recommend people, if you are a doer, sign up. And then certainly when you want to list your projects, do that as well. What do you think is the future of the gig economy? Do you think it's going to become, and I know you answered my question earlier when I talked about side hustle, and then you quickly turn that into full hustle, or, you know, full side hustle, which is really just full-time job. But where do you see the future go? Are more and more people doing more and more gig work, or how do you see that evolve?
Well, as Hoodoo expands coast to coast and we, you know, become a household name and we dominate the market, I genuinely see people using Hoodoo to make full-time income. So far, we're only 10 months old, but our average dealer is making around $50-$60 an hour, which is pretty darn good. And with that comes things like, you know, you get to be your own boss without a lot of the headache and the hassle. Paid vacation, you know, we're going to roll out some really cool loans and financial perks. You know, I don't want to say too much about some of the future rollouts, but, you know, looking at things like group health insurance and things like that. So, you know, I see the gig economy getting dominated by Hoodoo.
Good luck with it. And certainly it's like the telephone, right? The more people use the telephone, the more valuable it becomes, because the more you can connect on there. So everybody check it out. Hey, Hoodoo.com there on the bottom, or you can scan the UR code in the top if you want to. Really appreciate you coming on the show, Derek. Thanks everyone for watching, and nice to see you.
Thank you. Go Hawks.
Go Hawks.
Thanks for tuning in. Please rate and review the Business Storytelling Show on your favorite podcast platform, and subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. See you then.